This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We stopped off at Reading Services. Some pop to the toilet, some go and get a drink, some go and grab a snack. And after you've done that, you sort of like, you know, you might go outside, might get back on the coach. And as I walk out of Costa, I see, I think, 17, 18 players all sat around the same table. Yeah. I remember saying to Paul and Kieran at the time, like, yeah, we've cracked it. This is it.
Hello and welcome to a Blue Monday pre-match show special. And I'm delighted to be joined by ITFC Women boss, Joe Sheehan. Welcome back to the pod. Joe, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, thank you. Thanks for having me back on. It's been a while. So yeah, delighted to be back on the show.
Happy New Year to you. Did you have a good festive break?
Yeah, I did actually. Had a nice bit of wind down time and spent time with family. And obviously a new baby makes it a little bit different to what it normally has been previously, but yeah, it's been a good break, and now back at it this week, ready to hopefully finish the back end of the season really strong.
Yeah, unlike the men's team, it's a bit more of a, you know, I'm not going to say comfortable, but it's more of a relaxed situation. So are you raring to go? Have you missed it?
I think we're always probably thinking about it in some capacity. Even when we're not in, you spare a thought for something that's popped into your brain, something you think about. I think, you know, we've enjoyed probably what we've been doing for the last two or three years, and that's been sort of non-stop every day, really. So, yeah, you don't really have time to ever sort of miss it, because you're always sort of thinking about the next game, the next session, or previous game or previous session anyway. So, yeah, in one way or another, whilst we are, you know, resting and having a bit of a break, you know, we're still, I guess, subconsciously thinking about what's coming up anyway.
Yeah, thinking about how far you push your fullbacks and all that kind of fun stuff, Jay. the calendar year 2023 ended on a real high in the FA Cup. League form, obviously, had been strong. Disappointment, obviously, to not get the 3 points at Billericay. That was a tough afternoon, wasn't it? But you must be so proud with what your team achieved last season, obviously narrowly missing out on goal difference to Watford in the promotion stuff. But at home, just the numbers are crazy. You know, 30 matches played, I think it was, 12 wins, plus 48 goal difference. I mean, lots of stuff that gives you a lot of positivity going into the new year, right?
Yeah, it's been a really consistent couple of seasons to date. We've obviously come close on two occasions, and obviously last year was extremely close, having missed out on goal difference and putting together one hell of a run to finish the season. And then a bit of a turnover of personnel, which is quite unusual for us, makes it a little bit different again coming into a new season. And, you know, we've we probably developed a really sort of good reputation in the women's game, where there's quite a lot of expectation on us. The badge in the women's game carries a bit of weight because what we have achieved in cup competitions, and you know, we've had obviously youth internationals as well, and had strong league campaigns. So, you know, we had a turnover of players and a sort of new crop coming through and some new ones coming in. But the expectation and the reputation remains, and if anything, is actually higher, because obviously we came so close, so people would think, you know, this time it should be our year, but it doesn't quite work like that. And, you know, everybody else is getting better as well. So it makes it even more challenging to try and stay at the top of this division, to try and get out of it. But I think we do a lot of good things. And we've been really consistent with our work. You know, the core of the group has been with us for some time now, and it's still so young. I feel like I've been saying that for years, that it's just such a young group. But those that are 17 are now only 20. So, yeah, they're still really young. You know, we had a lot more experience at this level, which is great. But, yeah, we sometimes, obviously, we have lost some that have been a little bit older and then brought up some that are a little bit younger. So we sort of continue to start what we've always done. And yeah, you know, it's been a challenging league. You know, everybody can pick up points against everybody, as we've seen. But you know, we've been in every game, and we've certainly had some positives that we're really pleased with, and we're still seeing things that we want to improve on, which is great, because you know, we have to identify what we need to be better at, both as a team and for players individually. And that's all we tend to focus on, really, is trying to sort of develop those things as best as we can, and then see them flourish on a game day. And if we can see them flourish, and we pick up positive results. If we don't, then we risk not.
Yeah, it feels like, as you mentioned, the team is kind of the spine of young players who you feel like you've been around forever, and they're really still quite young. You look at Kyra Robertson in midfield, even Sophie Pesquet out wide, the likes of Lucy O'Brien, Summer Hughes, etc. You know, they are well established in terms of game minutes, but sometimes it's easy to forget how inexperienced they are in terms of, you know, other players in the team, like Natasha Thomas and Bonnie Horwood. It's kind of a learning on the job still for them as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you know, what we are constantly battling is, you know, players are desperate to play in a league above, as we are with staff. The margin for error is so small, as we all know so well. And you've got young players that are quite experienced in terms of minutes at this level, that know the margin for error is so small. We're trying to really focus our mindsets on developing them as football players, but sometimes you can't help but get away from the fact that, you know, you have to win games, or, you know, you lose three or four, you drop games in four or five games, and you could finish second or third. So we're constantly trying to battle and get that balance right, because you don't want to go too far the other way, where you forget about the result, and, you know, you drop some points because you've not focused on the importance of trying to win points. But equally, you don't want to go too heavy on that you end up underperforming, because the focus is on just winning the game. So that's a challenge for us. And I think that's one thing, I think all of our players really, you know, even the ones that are experienced at this level and the young ones, we spend a lot of time trying to work out who needs kind of what information, because I think I think Kyra is a great example. You did mention her, that, you know, you could tell Kyra that, you know, we need to win these next 10, and she'd be licking her lips thinking, yeah, I'm going to absolutely contribute to this. Yeah, there might be some players that are younger, less experienced, that could be total like alarm bells and, oh my goodness, you know, can we actually do that? I'm not sure I can. And what if I don't play well? What if it's my fault? So getting that balance right as well is what message we give to each player or unit as such as well, to try and get the best performance that we can get.
In terms of the off the field stuff and the ownership group change, obviously the men's team, there's a lot of talk about the culture and running towards adversity. I, from the outside, you know, as a spectator at the AGL, it feels to me that the squad, the unit, is as cohesive and as strong collectively as it's ever been. Has some of that culture been in your thinking, Joe, when you've done recruitment in the summer, and also when you deal with, you know, retention and all that kind of stuff? Are these things in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely is, and we probably missed out on a lot of players. For lots of reasons, but the character side of things is probably the first thing we look for. And you know, sometimes we're having to have meetings on Zooms with players we're looking to bring in with agents, and you know, you're trying to pick up any little subtlety of behaviour, of attitude, of language, of anything that can give you a little bit of an indication of, is this going to be the right sort of player for us? And you know, when we signed Ruby, I remember having a Zoom with her and her family, and I just sensed straight away, this girl's going to be great for us as a person. She's going to fit in brilliantly. So it's some it's quite easy to do. Some it's a little bit more difficult, and you have to sort of take a bit of a gamble and you know, trust your gut. And we spend a lot of time talking to a lot of our connections in the game and our network of... there's always someone we know that's played with or coached or watched and or knows of, and yeah, we try and make sure we really do our due diligence on that, because it is so important as a football club for us as a whole, and certainly with us, that you know, we want a group of players that are really, really tight knit, and we've had that this year. Is the best it's ever been, the best group of players I've ever worked with by far, from that perspective. And you know, we went to the first game of the season. We played Cardiff. I think it was that one, or it might have been the League Cup game. It was one of them that we stopped off at Reading Services. And you know, some pop to the toilet, some go and get a drink, some go and grab a snack. And after you've done that, you sort of like, you know, you might go outside, might get back on the coach. And as I've walked out of Costa, I see, I think, what, 17, 18 players all sat around the same table. Brilliant. I remember saying to Paul and Kieran at the time, like, yeah, we've cracked it. This is it. If ever you needed an example of a group that are absolutely totally together, that was it. Because obviously service stations are massive. There's tons of table seats, indoor, outdoor, and you can kind of sit where you like. And no one would be, you know, no one would be targeted for not sitting with, you know, because you can do whatever. But the fact that everybody was sat around the same sort of, on the same table, was absolutely brilliant. And I think that shows that this group that we have are absolutely all in together. And it makes it really easy then to do everything else. And I remember listening to, I think it was somebody who worked at Yale University. I listened to something years and years ago. Someone had said that managing culture is draining, and I can totally relate to that. It can be really draining, and I think having a group that is just all in, not all together, pulling in the same direction, that absolutely believe in everything we do as staff, just makes it so much easier then to, you know, prioritize on and making sure that we can help them all develop on the pitch, because we know that they're absolutely taken care of off it.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And you know, there's only so much that you and your staff can do in respect of that leadership, that culture. We mentioned some on-field leaders, but you've obviously recently chose Maria Boswell to be the captain for the rest of the season, presumably for the foreseeable as well. How important is it for you to have kind of deputies on field as well, who are carrying the same kind of messages that you're trying to provide throughout the week?
Yeah, really, really important. And you know, we could have loads of deputies, as you've referenced. We could absolutely have loads. So many players have got so many different strengths. I mean, even like Evie Williams is a fabulous communicator. Who's our youngest player, and her communication is absolutely fantastic. But then you have to weigh up whether you want to give someone additional responsibility when they're gaining their own experiences and spending a lot of time trying to focus on themselves. So she's an example that is a great communicator that will 100% be a great leader long term when she gets older and more wiser and more experienced in the game. And yeah, it's, you know, there's loads. And you know, Bonnie obviously stood in for Blue for some time, as someone we respect so much, Bonnie, for what she's achieved in the game. And you find out stuff all the time about Bonnie in games she's played in or players that she's played with that just blows you away, really. And a fabulous football player that's had an incredible career to date. and is still going really strong at the latter end of her career, although I'm sure she will say she's still got many years left yet. But I think it was just an opportunity for us to really look at what we had. And Bonnie done a fabulous role, but I just felt that Maria was someone that, it's hard to explain actually, but I just felt Maria was at a time when it was naturally right for her to maybe take on the role.
It felt a good fit from outside.
I think it was a really good fit. And I think, you know, certainly now where you look at the game, and this was something we certainly considered when we went with Maria, we knew she was absolutely popular with everybody, that everybody could speak to her. She's quite outspoken as well, which is great. Has got a really calming influence and really sort of methodical in her thinking. Knows the game absolutely inside out. Her knowledge of the game and of us with and without the ball is absolutely outstanding. So that was a big tick for us. But I also felt Maria in a life away from football is in a really good space. I think that's important. And I think she'd just taken on some media duties with the club. I think she'd been on Town TV. She'd done a couple of interviews, and I just felt that she kind of had the whole package. All of our players are absolutely great people, but I think Maria kind of was a well-rounded captain that pretty much ticked everything that we thought we might need. And has been really consistent with performances as well. And could probably carry the weight of an extra responsibility of the armband of looking after everybody else when her game was in such a good place herself, and also at a really good age. So, yeah, Maria was a great choice for us. And as for her sort of support group, we'll have three or four people that kind of will check in and make sure that, you know, she can lean on those players when necessary. But there's so many we could have, but we'll have three or four players that will kind of be there for her should she need to lean on them.
And if in doubt, she can fall back on her housemates, I'm sure, who will have her back too. That's a great dynamic going on.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It seems frustrating to have to talk about change in the game, but it's inevitable. You know, there's a positive step forward in respect of the top spot now gets promoted without the need of a playoff, which is a fantastic step forward. But we've got the new co that is going to take over the Super League and the Championship from the 24-25 season. There's all kind of adjustments to the academy system as well and licensing around that. Can you talk to us about that kind of situation and particularly about recruitment and what that means for Ipswich Town? Andrew asks about, you know, geography and relocation of players, but having some control over that academy system, from what it sounds like from Andrew's question, has changed somewhat. So how are we trying to deal with that? And does the new owners and the resources the club now have help you in that respect?
Yeah, a lot has changed, as Andrew knows. And I think if we're talking about the same Andrew anyway, but yeah, I think we're at a point where, you know, we're really looking at, you know, what's worked for us really well, you know, our pathway from that academy perspective, from 16 to 21 has really flourished in recent times. And I won't go into too much about my thoughts on why that's why I think that should have continued, because I could spend the next hour talking about that. But it's we've obviously got to a situation now where we've lost the license to operate under the criteria that the WSL would have asked for, following a restructure of their own academy system, which is now PGA. We tried to retain as many of those players as possible. Some took opportunities to move to different clubs, and some wanted to go and play senior football with Charlie in Loughborough to continue their education there. I'm pleased we did keep some players, because you know we what we wanted to try and do is continue really exactly as we were operating. You know, same training schedule, same players. And Phoebe done a really good job of sourcing fixtures with clubs in that system. So the aim was really just to continue operate as normal, really. The challenge we do have is that we have a really good relationship with St. Joseph's College, that a lot of our younger players have tended to go and do their education there. And St. Joe's have a lot of school games as well. So trying to get games in the schedule that works around our training for our first team, games on a Sunday, games on a Wednesday for potentially school and the academy team. There's some challenges with that, but I think what it does do, it gives us an opportunity to look at the, you know, what has worked previously, as we just spoke about, but maybe what direction can we go in, and what can we now put in place to ensure that the best players in our region can come through and you know, compete for positions in our first team. The ETC is a centre that operates from 10 up to 16, and we've been operating with one of them now for some time, and that's, we're hoping will constantly improve over time, and as the game grows and the players in the talent pool increases, hopefully the quality that will come out of that will aid our first team as well. But yeah, looking at recruitment of maybe a different type of player now, not one that's naturally come through our system, is something that we're really looking at the moment, because we have relied for so many years on players that are coming out of our system that we never really had to have any conversations with agents or talk about recruitment, because we knew what was coming up and we were just going to keep operating like that. So now we're in a different situation where, say, some have left. We've managed to keep some, but there's obviously that gap now from leaving the ETC to coming into our first team. We need to look at what we can provide to make sure that those players have the best chance of making that transition into our seniors. And equally, what other players out there that may be outside of our region that want to be part of what we're doing? Because, you know, we're going to broaden our network as we continue to improve and progress up the pyramid as well. And there's lots that we will need to do around that from an infrastructure perspective, from how we accommodate players, our players get in, and how much we pay players as well. So yeah, there's a big piece of work that, you know, we're really prioritizing at the moment that we will do with our new general manager. And then hopefully, yeah, we will continue to progress and grow as we have done over the last few years.
I was going to ask you about, obviously the GM hasn't been officially announced yet, but hopefully more on that to follow soon. The change around the football club in general is huge at the moment as well. A lot more round pegs in round holes, as it were, people in proper positions, both on and off the field. The GM coming in is probably a massive part of that as well. Investment in the stadium, the pitch, Playford Road even as well. Are these things that excite you, these opportunities to strengthen that ITFC brand outside our area as well, to help with recruitment?
Yeah, massively. And you know, we've had significant investment this year in particular, from playing salaries, from what they were previously, to how we travel to games, our players fed, you know, meals after every single training session that are provided by the chef at the training ground. from medical to stands to surgeries to consultancy, you know, whatever, you know, our players have needed, we've provided. And that costs a lot of money. So, yeah, I think what we have been able to do over the last, certainly the last year, has been really exciting. And so, like I said, there's been significant investment. I mean, the game is always growing. And we are in a different situation to a lot of teams as well. And I often wonder that, you know, let's use AFC Sudbury as an example. If AFC Sudbury women's team were in the women's championship, we would probably have, you know, a more experienced, stronger squad on probably half the budget that we spend currently. And I think that's where Portsmouth have benefited this year from Southampton's players that departed them previously. Oxford can benefit from Reading. You've got London Bees that are on the doorstep of Arsenal and Tottenham, as are Watford that benefit from that catchment area. And you've got Billericay and Hashtag, which are in a great spot really to pick up anything that comes out of Crystal Palace, London City, West Ham,
even us,
Charlton, and even us, obviously. Yeah, so it's a different dynamic for us. You know, our neighbours up the road are in a league below, as are Sudbury. So we are the flagship club in our region. So we don't benefit really too much from, you know, older, more experienced players that have played at a really good level that have a really exciting age for us to benefit from, as Portsmouth have with, say, Beth Lumsden, who was at Southampton the previous season. So our model has to be a little bit different. But it's not easy. But, yeah, it's an exciting challenge. And so we're really fortunate that, you know, we have such a supportive club. Because it's not common. It's not every women's department has access to what we do and has the resource that we do. So we are really fortunate from that aspect. And, you know, we try and make sure we make the most of what we have available to us, and we're constantly trying to keep growing and improving along the way.
And that will only get better if Premier League happens for the men's team. You know, you look at Newcastle and Nottingham Forest in the Northern Premier League, who are benefiting off of that benefit as well. So come on, Kieran, sort that out for us. That would be really helpful. Just before we'll talk about Oxford and the start of the new year, just about you, Joe, and how are you dealing with it? You mentioned you're a dad now, and that's a whole other set of challenges and maybe changing of perspective and so on. But have you still got the same bug you've always had? Is your perspective on things changed, or, you know, how is life as the top of the tree, as it were, at the moment at Ipswich Town?
I'm doing really well. I mean, things have changed a lot, and I guess I'm finding it quite difficult to do less.
Okay.
Weirdly. And, you know, one thing the club were really keen on was for me to solely do the job that they think I'm best to do, and not wearing more caps than the manager of the women's team. And I find that quite difficult. I think because I was quite often 7 days a week, academy games on a Wednesday, academy training on a Monday night, I was doing all sorts of jobs with, obviously, Kieran, as you know, secretarial stuff, kit stuff, travel stuff, food stuff, hotel stuff. You know, club would just didn't want me doing any of that and just wanted me to solely focus on developing this football team and winning games of football. So I found that quite challenging, because sometimes I then sort of question, have I done enough today? You know, right. have I worked hard enough this week? And that's just adjusting really to being able to delegate and let other people take on jobs that I was previously doing. So yeah, that's taken some, you know, I guess adjustment for me. But what it has allowed me to do is, yeah, just really, really focus on games and preparing training sessions, which I think I would go as far as saying now in my 6 years, 7 years, 6 years at this football club, I think that our training model, which has obviously been heavily influenced by Kieran McKenna, is probably as good as it's ever been. I think our work throughout the week is as good as it's ever been. I've done a lot of visits to other clubs. I know a lot of other coaches and managers, and, you know, in leagues above us. And I think we have such a strong program, what we do. And yeah, I'm just hoping that, you know, we've been really consistent with that. I think the club as a whole, Kieran talked a lot about principles, and, you know, we're equally as process driven as Kieran is with the men. And we're really consistent, and we try and, you know, make sure that our focus is solely on, you know, developing our game model throughout the week, preparing as best as we can for our game, and sending a team out to try and win. And that's probably something that's changed as well, I guess, this year, is that, you know, sometimes it's very easy to think about, and we've got to win this one. And, you know, like I said earlier on in this, is getting that balance right of, you know, being desperate to win the game, but making sure we're not clouding our thinking of making good decisions, being decisive and executing things that we need to do as best as we can. So, yeah, getting that balance right. But yeah, I'm the bug is, I think, until we get out of this division, I don't think it will ever go. We're all absolutely desperate to try and make that next jump, where I think we deserve and are capable of being. And we won't stop working until we absolutely achieve it.
Right, and the Lewis game only goes to prove that, you know, the level we know this team are at, your team are at, and, you know, we're so grateful and appreciative of all the hard work of you and your team. You know, the likes of Kieran Stanley, we've mentioned, you know, unsung heroes behind the scenes working so hard to make this happen, and great to hear that you're getting the resources now that maybe we haven't had in previous seasons. Let's talk about the start of 2024 then. We're in league action against Oxford, a team we've got very familiar history with, Charlton in the cup after that as well, which will be really exciting. But talk to us about Oxford, because I kind of feel like everyone will go into that one looking to make a statement. It's one of those games that we look forward to. Maybe Oxford at the start of the season, a little bit of a team in transition, but seem to have stabilised now, haven't they? So it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, and, you know, I've said this a few times over the last couple of months, is that I think Oxford are another team that we bring the best out of. Yeah. As we do with Billericay, as we do with Hashtag, as we do with Portsmouth, the list is just endless. And, you know, I watched Oxford beat Billericay 8-0 earlier on in the week. And, you know, that's not the same Billericay team that we played. No way. So, yeah, it's just the hand we've been dealt. And, you know, whether, like I said at the start of the show, that, you know, our reputation, the expectation of us in the game brings out a different beast in everybody we play against. And I think we can never underestimate how difficult that is of a challenge, actually. You know, you never want to walk over, you know, you never want to turn up and just win comfortably. No one wants that. But I guess you would hope that everybody faces everybody, the best of everybody. And it just feels like at times it only seems to be us that gets teams that are absolutely desperate to stop us in our tracks. And I think we had that last year or the year before with Gillingham, who come and got a point off us on a Tuesday night. And, you know, I think that same team had rolled over on previous occasions against other teams, I think Southampton that year. So, yeah, it makes it really challenging for us. And you know, there's obviously the saying of, you know, nothing worth fighting for comes easy. And we're constantly having to battle against the best of everybody in this division to try and get where we want to get to. And this Sunday, Oxford will be a challenging game. You said they're fairly stabilised and new management staff, but still familiar faces that, you know, know Zoe, you know, 100% want to put in a really solid performance against us again, having scored the winner previously. And we've got to try and navigate our way through that game and the mental side of the task in hand. And we'll try and draw a lot upon probably the experiences against Lewis to try and get a result. Because, it's an important game. It's a big game for us, one at home. We're in good shape. We're looking forward to it. And hopefully we can start this 2024 period as we finish 2023.
Yeah, that kind of unbelievable winning run. It would be great to start it right now. It's quirk of fixture computers or rearrangements and bad weather, but all of the teams that we are competing against have to come to the AGL. Look, I very selfishly want to ask you about the crowd at the AGL. The numbers keep going, the noise gets louder. It's a cliche, but the AGL really is the 12th player for you guys at the moment, isn't it? And have a massive role to play against Oxford, but all of these games coming up, and a real big opportunity for people who may be an armchair supporter or have thought about going and never really made the commitment to get involved now, because it makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I even look at the top division had games towards the end of last year where some games are segregated. And you know, that at the top level now, that sort of changing. And you know, we've been well backed, well followed for some time now, but I think this year feels a little bit different again. I think, you know, the consistency of numbers has been evident. And the noise, I don't think I can remember a time when we had such noise that was so consistent at the AGL for our players, and it just makes it feel like it's a proper game. I remember saying to Kieran Stanley, probably a couple of years ago now, is that I think we played a game, I can't remember who it was against, but we played a game in front of about 550, 600. It was one of our first sort of games that had those sort of numbers. And it was the first time I thought, oh, this feels like a proper game, feels like a proper crowd. You know, one row deep, 80% of the way round, see two or three rows maybe closer to the clubhouse. And I remember thinking at the time, is that if we can sort of get to 550, 600 regularly, I think it will really feel like it is a proper game with a proper atmosphere, and not, you know, some isolated people on their own by one goal or by one side of the pitch. And we've noticed it, you know, good numbers of between 400 and 500 have been pretty consistent. Obviously that little terrace where the little the roof is generates some really good noise, and I guess you'll never know 100% the impact it does have, but from talking to players and even listening to them talk to each other, you know, our training ground, you know, it just feels like it makes such a massive difference. Players really enjoy it. I think it keeps players dialed in as well. We talk about being dialed in a lot and really stay engaged to the game, even if you're what might be like a tertiary player where you're nowhere near the action. And I think sometimes noise, communication from players, but equally supporter songs keeps players really engaged in the game as well, which I think makes a massive difference. So, yeah, it's been brilliant. It makes a huge impact for us, and it probably has an adverse impact on the teams we play against, because it's quite unusual for them to play in games at our level with atmospheres like that. So we should never underestimate the impact of good numbers with good voices that are constantly supporting and encouraging, because it just makes such a difference. And I think we can all probably, you know, think about a moment in the game where whether there's 600 people or 60,000 people, and you're chasing the game, and you get a corner late on, and that roar of the crowd. And I can only imagine it if you're a centre back jogging up that pitch, and you hear that, you're thinking, "I'm gonna compete for this. I'm gonna nod this in." So I think it makes such a difference. We want to keep growing numbers, obviously, because the higher up the divisions we go, you know, the more challenging games we'll have, and the more we will need the crowd to really be behind us. So, yeah, hopefully it will continue to grow as it has done so far.
Exciting times. Really looking forward to Sunday, seeing everyone back at the AGL. Joe, thank you so much for your time. Huge, you know, good luck for everything that you guys got to face coming up in the first half of 2024. We'll be right behind you. And, excited to see match action again on Sunday. So thanks for chatting to us.
No, thanks for having me, and we'll see you at the AGL.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.